your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Mr. Britton. is that a common occurrence? Do people say Mr. Britton quite a lot in your industry? Or?
I try to get the students who visit to call me David.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're students of yours for sure. So, David, how's it going, mate?
I'm going well.
Good, 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 good. A lot going on in space this week.
I thought I had all my ducks in a row, and then last night President Trump sort of put a spanner in the works. But before that, I thought I'd go back to the announcement that was imminent when we last talked from NASA.
Okay. Oh, right, yes.
What did they find? What have they got?
This was the Curiosity rover on Mars, which has been sort of digging around on a mountain over there in the crater.
Okay.
And, basically there's two things they found. They haven't found life, so they're quite clear about that. There's no evidence of life.
Okay. Right.
But firstly, they found organic molecules. So the importance of that is, firstly, they could have been produced by organisms who were alive on Mars in its ancient past.
Sort of chucked out a sneeze and it got stuck in it.
They can also provide the food for organisms to feed on. So there's two possibilities there. The third one is that it's a geologically process that's produced it. So what we're talking to things like benzene, toluene, propane, butene, and so on, small carbon chain molecules. The other thing they found is they've known for a while that methane is produced and found in Mars's atmosphere. But when they've gone over a lot of the data from Curiosity, which is continuous, they've found there's a seasonal variation. So it increases and peaks at the end of the northern summer. Again, that might be from organisms producing it, or it might be geologic, but what they're saying is it's not inconsistent with life organisms producing it.
Okay, and the theory is that sort of Mars is just a big old ancient planet that got tweaked out at some point.
Well, yeah, we know that there was water flowing, liquid water on the surface of Mars
about
3 billion years ago.
Like water like how we know it kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, but it couldn't stick around because the magnetic field of Mars collapsed, and that stopped preventing the solar wind, which basically stripped away the atmosphere, and it was all downhill from there.
Could Earth's magnetic field collapse?
Possibly, because we don't know enough about it, but there's no evidence that it's going to do that anytime soon.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Okay. Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
Now, Trump has got plans for space, including,
well,
the army in space or something?
You're going to build a space wall, or what's the...
A space wall, yeah, that would be the idea, wouldn't it? No, what he's done is to create a sixth arm of the U.S. military. So
okay.
There are five arms, like the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, or whatever they are. And this new one is the space.
The Space Force?
Okay. Is this like Mars Attacks kind of knack-knack-knack kind of thing? Are we trying to stop?
Or stormtroopers.
Good.
At this stage, it's nothing to do with like actual personnel up in space.
Okay.
The first thing is simply to create the structure in the Pentagon with a general, four or five star, whatever, who's in charge of that arm of the military. So he'd oversee what they do militarily in space. I mean, they have satellites there already that look down and monitor activities on Earth. I've been there for decades. The next step is perhaps to not rely on them so much because they're in geosynchronous orbit. You know where they are. Enemies could send killer satellites up to knock them out. So the next stage is to create like swarms of satellites that are in low orbits and much harder to
So it's still an army. It's an army versus humans. He's not trying to protect the world from an outside scenario at all.
This is purely
paranoia. Great.
The wish for the US to be dominant.
Yeah. Okay. And can we expect maybe in the near future rockets in the shape of Trump?
Rockets? What?
That was a stupid question, mate. Just carry on. Sorry.
I couldn't hear that properly.
No, it's probably for the best. It's probably for the best, mate. It's okay.
That's right. Yeah, so that's the bad side of it. The good side of this directive that he signed overnight is to improve the handling and the policy regarding space debris. There's hundreds of thousands of pieces of junk just flying around there. The U.S. military tracks over 20,000 pieces of space junk. What they're going to do, though, is say, okay, the military is going to continue monitoring that whole database of stuff, but they're going to release the non-military space junk to the Commerce Department. Okay, so the Department of Commerce will then make that available to the public.
Mm.
And all that information would be free, so there's no direct user fees. So okay. Basically, it'd be a catalog of space objects. So people now have situational awareness of what satellites are going where and when they're going to be in a certain place. So everyone around the world who's involved in that can better protect their own hardware, but also so that people who come up with good ideas for knocking out space junk will be able to do it better.
Okay. At least they can locate it.
Maybe. Will there be some space junk for sale on eBay shortly? Is that sort of...
Afraid not, because when it is knocked out, it burns up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
eBay, so make sure not much left.
Now, I guess this next kind of story dovetails into the last one about Trump militarizing. Militarizing space. Russia are building a laser cannon.
Yeah, it's not quite that. It's actually the second part I was saying. So Russia wants to have a laser cannon not to blast other satellites, but to demolish space junk.
Now, okay. Would it be a laser like we've seen in Star Wars, like a laser blast?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, basically they'll use a telescope. They have a 3-meter telescope. That's a mirror 3 meters across.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of collecting light, they'd put a laser at the focus point and use the telescope to send that laser up into space and vaporize debris. Now, obviously, they could turn it into a weapon and not just do space debris, but, you know, blast enemy satellites.
Oops,
I guess.
Sorry about your satellite there.
Yeah, they're not the first or the only ones. The Japanese and the Chinese have things that they're following up, but what they want to do there is not vaporize it completely, but just create a vapor on one side of a satellite, and that vapor would act like a little rocket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the vapor come off would change the orbit of whatever that debris is, and degrade it so it would burn up
through the atmosphere.
Hey, good news, guys. I've just hit up eBay to just have a look for some space junk. I've only found like little rocks, but it's quite cheap. You can pick up like a little bit of moon rock or whatever. Came from out of space, so they say, for about $20. Buy now.
Yeah, you can get, we sell meteorites at Stardome in the shop.
Oh, shit, there you go. Do we get a discount? Or?
Yeah, but that's not called space junk.
No, it's not. No, it's just it's more like just space stuff. Okay, but it's obviously in abundance. Things are just hitting the earth all the time. So.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of meteorites around. Some are cheap and some are expensive.
Okay, sweet.
Okay, so just to carry on, with Mars, people might be looking for Mars over the coming months, and I'll talk about it next time in more detail. But basically, we're catching up with Mars. Earth goes around the sun in a year. Mars takes 2 years. So every couple of years or so, we catch up with Mars and get closer than normal, which means Mars is brighter, and in a telescope, it's bigger. It's called opposition, and that'll be at the end of July. The trouble is, Mars has just decided to throw a wobbly, and there's this giant dust storm that's blowing up.
What a wanker.
Yeah, and it's covering a fair proportion of the planet, like over half. So it's not just a local thing. The Opportunity rover that's been up there for the last decade and a half or so has got dust all over the solar panels. It's power comes from the sun. Curiosity rover has a nuclear generator aboard, so it's
it's
immune to this effect. Mm-hmm. But the Opportunity rover has had to go into a safe mode because it's not getting energy from the sun.
Bunker
because
down.
Of the dust.
Why couldn't you be more like the other rover?
At the moment, we're not going to see any details. Just all gone bugger. Orange.
For the time being. Now, the pagan, all of the pagan community and the pagans among us will know that it is winter solstice on Thursday.
Yeah, winter solstice on Thursday. Solstice simply means the sun has stopped. So what we've been having over the last 6 months is the sun has been rising and setting further and further north. On Thursday, it'll stop doing that, and from Friday onwards, it'll start setting further and further south as we go back towards summer. So it's sort of around about the shortest day. There's actually a week or two on either side where the length of the day doesn't change by very much at all, and you're not really going to notice much of a change for a while. But yeah, that's on Thursday, and that's why we have at the moment the Matariki Maori New Year at this time of the year, the winter, which is what, of course, Northern Hemisphere has for their New Year.
And is there something happening at the Stardome in regards to Matariki?
Yeah, Matariki, we've got a show for the public called Matariki Dawn. That's on Wednesday to Sunday through the whole of this month, so there's a couple of weeks to go for that. So it's a really good show. It talks about why and what Matariki is important, how it works in their system of the calendar, because they used a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar like we do.
Right.
And then there's three myths that are also illustrated. The creation myth, the story of Rona and Marama, which is the how the moon began changing with the phases. And there's also one about the great waka you can see in the sky at this time of the year and how that was used by the Polynesians to navigate to New Zealand in the great migration 800 years ago.
Nice one.
We also have the other story show is called Winter Stories in the Sky. That's at 6 o'clock on Saturday and Sundays. So there's only, two or three weekends left for that. But we are having a special screening of that show on Thursday for the winter solstice. So that Thursday at 6 p.m. We have an extra screening of Winter Stories in the Sky. That's about various constellations you can see at this time of year and the stories behind them, both from the Maori and the Greek side of things.
Fantastic, fantastic, David. And if we don't get along to this Winter Stories in the Sky at the Stardome, is there any sort of star-related pagan activity I could be engaged in?
Oh, you'd have to ask a pagan about that.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I was just checking.
Off here, John. Off here. Hey, look, Peter, David, we just had a text in saying someone's selling space rock for $100 each, which is actually quite expensive for space rock now that I know they have the market prices. But then they go on to call me an idiot. but I really think that text is a bit of an idiot because it kind of overpriced it. How much is your space rock at the Stardome?
Well, we have a bunch that came from one particular site. They're all authenticated. I mean, someone come along and said almost anything and tell you it's a space rock.
Well, I think that's what this texter is getting at, but,
it's really... Yeah, so ours are somewhere between $40 and $120.
Okay, cool.
But they're small. But it depends. Some types of meteorite are very rare, and they are much, much more expensive. Yeah.
Any chance of maybe some superpowers or... kind of going numb on one side of the body.
I've been looking for kryptonite, but I haven't found any yet.
Very nice, very nice.
All right, okay. David, thank you very much once again. We'll look forward to having a chat with you in a fortnight's time.
I look forward to it too.
Cheers, right, mate. Cheers. Always a pleasure.
See you then.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Caller, I assume you're calling about space-related stuff.
I am calling about space-related stuff. I want to know, if the Russians miss with their laser, does it just keep going forever until it hits something?
We can only hope.
Oh, like the laser out into space, the laser beam
into
space.
It's a beam of light, there's no resistance. Will it just keep going along until, I don't know, something else hits it?
That's a great question. Wish you texted it in because we've gone and hung up on David Britton.
I know. What's the text number?
5395.
Yeah, I knew it was.
But don't text it now because we've had this conversation.
No.
But you can text in and say hi.
You're on fire, mate. You're a sharp, sharp man.
Hey, thanks, mate.
Thanks, bro.
Take it easy out there.
Thanks, love your work.
That was a good question.
Shouldn't we be worried about Earth?
Will it sound like as well?
Yes,
like,
of course it will.